T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Here we go. Overnight America, hour number 3. Thanks for joining us. You can reach the show 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. You know, there's a story on KMOX.com. The Kemmels. So Kemmels Chop House opened today in the Westport Plaza. The new 8,000 square foot restaurant will pay homage to Kemmels' 93-year legacy by serving many of its top-selling Sicilian dishes. And I'm looking at the menu and the appetizers and things like that. And I got to mention this. The picture they use on KMOX.com is fried artichokes. What is a fried artichoke? Is it artichoke hearts, fried artichoke hearts, or is it something different? My grandma used to make, she would take an artichoke and stuff artichokes. And she's someone from Italy, and she got that recipe, I'm sure, from her mom. I'm sure it was something that was passed down, because I've never met anyone else that's ever once offered a stuffed artichoke. It was only something that my grandma made. It was essentially you'd take an artichoke and you'd have the individual leaves of the artichokes and you'd make this special stuffing. You'd stuff it in between the leaves and then you would pull a leaf off the artichoke. You would eat the stuffing. You would dip the artichoke in butter and then you would scrape with your teeth that stuff off the end of the leaf, and then you would discard the leaf when you were done. It was just that little meaty stuff that was on it. So when I saw a picture of deep-fried artichokes, I thought, what is this? How come I've never heard of this? Fried artichokes sound awesome. Can someone explain that to me? I'd love to figure this out. What else they got on this menu here? I got to see some of the smaller things that are on the menu. 314-436-7900 is the number if someone wants to help me out here as I try to figure this out. See, I want to know what the appetizers and things are. See, they got all kinds of great food there. I don't know if it tastes good. I bet it does. Just that picture alone has me interested. Oh, Chris is calling in. Hey, Chris, what's going on? Hi, Chris, are you there? Oh, Chris, we just lost Chris. Oh, so sorry. That's a shame. But let's see what else they got here. Well, this is kind of your typical type of food. I don't see anything in here that looks out of the ordinary. I'll have to give them a try sometime. Man, eggplant parmesan. I love that. My mom makes that dish. I got it from my grandma. I love eggplant parmesan. She even got my wife to start making it, which is pretty impressive if you think about it. Anything that my mom can get my wife to make, it's got to be pretty good, because my wife's like, I'm not dealing with that. I'm not taking any recipes. Kemmel. Oh, Kemmel. Is that how you pronounce it? Kemmel. Not Kemmels. Kemmels. Well, I want to find out what a fried artichoke is. Man, that sounds great. But it's pretty good. I've never seen that in the stores either. I'll give it a try sometime. I also have a couple of other stories here. Let's see. Do you see who's running for president in 2020? Is anyone surprised to find out that?
Senator Sanders, you're going to run for president.
I am going to run for president. That's correct.
What's going to be different this time?
We're going to win.
What's going to be different this time? I don't have a Hillary Clinton rigging the system against me.
In 2016, many of the ideas that I talked about, Medicare for all, raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour, making public colleges and universities tuition free, all of those ideas, people say, oh, Bernie, they're so radical. They are extreme. The American people just won't accept those ideas. Well, you know what's happened in over 3 years? All of those ideas and many more are now part of the political mainstream.
So you're saying the party came your way?
Well, I don't want to say that. I think most people would say that.
What did I see online? Someone said, never trust someone that brushes their hair with a balloon. Showed a picture of Bernie Sanders with his trademark messed up hair. What does President Trump say about it all?
Bernie Sanders is running, yeah, that's right. Personally, I think he missed his...
Sounds like it was set up to a joke, right?
Bernie Sanders is running, yeah, that's right. Personally, I think he missed his time. But I like Bernie because he is one person that, you know, on trade, he sort of would agree on trade. I'm being very tough on trade. He would tough on trade. The problem is he doesn't know what to do about it. We're doing something very spectacular on trade. But I wish Bernie well. It'll be interesting to see how he does. I think what happened to Bernie maybe was not so nice. I think he was taken advantage of. He ran great 4 years ago. And he was not treated with respect by Clinton. And that was too bad. I thought what happened to Bernie Sanders 4 years ago was quite sad as it pertains to our country. So we'll see how he does. You got a lot of people running, but only one person's going to win. I hope you know who that person is.
I hope you know who that person is. So that's a pretty crowded field so far. So you have Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders. Who else? No, excuse me. What else is President Trump? He talks about trade. How's it going with China so far?
Well, they are very complex talks. They're going very well. We're asking for everything that anybody has ever even suggested. These are not just... let's sell corn or let's do this. It's going to be selling corn, but a lot of it, a lot more than anyone thought possible.
With China.
And I think the talks are going very well. With China, you're referring to, yes. And the talks are going very well.
Yeah, I put it in there, too. President and I, look at that.
Our group just came back, and now they're coming here. I can't tell you exactly about timing, but the date is not a magical date. A lot of things can happen. The real question will be, will we raise the tariffs?
The magical
mystery
date.
Because they automatically kick into 25% as of on $200 billion worth of goods.
I think they'll do something with China. I think they're going to have to. We were talking about the trade imbalances with China, how that's hurting the economy. And yes, it has. But look at the way ever since the start of the year, even after they talked about this, where we're going to hold off and we're not going to go as aggressive when it comes to trade talks. Well, not the talks, but the actual trade tariffs. And that has definitely helped excel the economy. And it's still continuing to grow every week. We've seen it was the past 8 weeks. No, it wasn't that many. But we've seen a lot of growth in the stock market since then. Now, if there was something that couldn't get passed and then they said, no, we're going to go back to the same tariffs we had before, that could be hurtful. They said, the first 90 days, so we're coming up on 2/3 of that, and we're coming up on day 60 of the start of the year. They got another 30 days, and he's even indicated if they get close to a deal that after that, they're not going to go back to the old tariffs, so they'll at least continue with the hold of the tariffs. And it's working. It was something that was hurtful to the economy and to the people in certain industries here in the United States for a little while, but that was a short-term thing in order to try to get a long-term gain for this country. And it seems like we rebounded pretty quickly from that. If we actually work something out with China, this is a huge, huge win. Huge win for the Trump administration. What about North Korea?
Well, I'd just like to see ultimately denuclearization of North Korea. I think we will see that ultimately. I have no pressing time schedule. And I think a lot of people would like to see it go very quickly from the other side. I really believe that North Korea can be a tremendous economic power when this is solved. Their location between Russia, China, and South Korea is unbelievable. I think that North Korea and Chairman Kim have some very positive things in mind, and we'll soon find out.
Yeah. So when they get back together, did they say they're meeting in Vietnam? Is that what he said during the State of the Union? I think that could work out too. Think about that. Rework the trade with China, bring North Korea into the mix and start something with them. Who knows what we can start exporting legally to them. So these companies that have been doing it in the middle of the night to try to, not look bad or go past our sanctions with them can actually start doing business with them. I mean, that's a huge plus. That opens up a really big market of people. And if all of that comes together, that's major, major pluses for the economy. And really for the long-term economy of the United States of America. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. If you want to call in with your best Bernie Sanders impersonation, you can do that too. We'll take some of your calls on KMOX. Overnight America, we continue for another 40 minutes or so. And then our American stories at 2 o'clock after CBS News. President Trump is complimenting Bernie Sanders. He'd be tough on trade. He wouldn't know what to do with it, but you'd agree with me on trade. I wonder why, of all of the candidates, he's soft on Bernie Sanders. I don't get that. I think he sees the way the Democrat Party treated Bernie Sanders and realizes it could have gone that way in the Republican Party, but he kind of stiff-armed the Republican Party and said, no, I'm not jumping on board if you try to pull one over on me like Bernie's getting pulled with the Democrat Party. Well, ultimately, that huge gamble the Republicans took paid off with a win and a beat for Hillary Clinton. Let me go to Mike in St. Louis. Hey, Mike, what's going on?
Hi.
Good. What's up?
Hey, talk about Bernie Sanders. Mm-hmm. His biggest mistake was he could have been president. And I agree with him on health care and against NAFTA and all that. And this is my opinion, of course. I think the biggest mistake he made was pro-choice. Because I know other people I talk to, you have some Democrats, but they don't usually reach the top. And this is my opinion. I really believe if he would have been a pro-life Democrat, he would have been our president today. I'll give you an example. Donald Trump used to be pro-choice, but he changed pro-life. Ronald Reagan used to be pro-choice, and he changed pro-life. So if Bernie Sanders would change and be pro-life with other issues, I believe he would win.
I don't think it wouldn't. I don't think it would work for him, mostly because the people that love him the most are in that fan base that are definitely pro-choice. He wouldn't be able to garner enough support if he did. I don't think you'd drag anyone over.
Not necessarily, because think about a lot of pro-life Democrats that are for the economy and they are for pro-life. And they're fair and Christians. A lot of times they cheat. A lot of people, I won't vote for a pro-choice Republican. Got some pro-choice Republican. It was one woman. They don't mention it. So I'll vote any pro-life candidate, but I believe it helps. But anyway, Bernie Sanders' invitation, I'm not very good. I hear you. Let's see how this sounds real quick, I guess.
Okay, let's hear it.
I'm Bernie Sanders. I've gone with some of them same views. I write about health care and race. I believe I'll win.
You sound like Grover. This is not Bernie Sanders. That's Grover. All right. Good to hear from you, Mike. All right. Hey, thanks. No, that's that. Yeah. Maybe a producer Ben said you sound like Yoda on heavy medication. Yeah. That's a weird type of impersonation. If you got a better Bernie Sanders impersonation than that, 314-436-7900. I do an okay Bernie. See if he's on the wire, because I think everyone was just waiting for him to announce it. I don't know why he did it in such a way that was so quiet. Now he's trying to get a lot of grassroots support. Yeah, here's Bernie again.
Senator Sanders, you're going to run for president.
I am going to run for president.
I am going to run for president.
That's correct.
What's going to be different this time?
No Hillary Clinton.
We're going to win.
No, that's not. Should have just said, no Hillary Clinton rigging the Democrat Party. They know where all the bodies are. She's going to stay out of it this time. Maybe one of those deals. Oh, you know what else was announced today?
Today, I'm thrilled to sign a new order, taking the next step to create the United States Space Force.
Ooh.
America must be fully equipped to defend our vital interests, our adversaries, our training forces, and developing technology to undermine our security in space. It's the future. It's where we're going. I suspect whether we like it or not, that's where we're going. It's space. That's the next step. And we have to be prepared.
Adversaries, it's the next step.
And whether we get along with them or not, they're up in space. My administration has recognized space as a warfighting domain and made the creation of the Space Force a national security priority.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with it. Look what North Korea was about to be capable of, intercontinental missiles. So when you hear this term, intercontinental, what does that mean? You're shooting these missiles up into space and essentially giving them a shortcut to land wherever they want in the world. So you know how easy it would be if North Korea had that technology? This is back when they were shooting and testing these missiles. Shoot one up above what our defenses could do inside of the planet, and then just finds its way down where it wants to go and then lands somewhere in the United States. It'd be terrible. Think about some of these other countries that have the bullseye on the United States. They have this sort of capability. It's not a bad idea to have a space force and come up with technology that may not exist right now, but come up with technology that would be able to defend ourselves against these intercontinental missiles that some countries have the capabilities of launching. That's important. Plus, we've got so much space junk up there. Think about all of the other dangers we're going to have. We have so much junk that's just floating around. It's going to be difficult for us to launch anything in space without it being a giant minefield and something potentially damaging something we launch up there. We got some problems right now. Things that need to be cleaned up, things that need to be defended. It's not a bad idea. Ed calling in. Ed, are you driving around right now?
I work in South St. Louis, and I live out 10 miles past Wentzville. I'm on Highway 64.
How's it looking right now?
Okay, well, 270, 55 was rough to 270, 55 south.
Mm-hmm.
270 patches are bad. When you get to the interchange at 64, really bad.
Okay.
Chesterfield Valley, they had a conga line going, which had traffic slowed down to about 20 miles an hour. They were clearing all four lanes.
Mm-hmm.
There was plenty of snow plows. I'm in St. Charles County now, up by Dardenne Prairie, or Dardenne, and it's wet. They're cleaning shoulders.
I see. Cleaning shoulders?
Yeah, they're literally, the lanes are clear, and they're pushing everything off the shoulders into the internal median and the...
Yeah.
But everything has been good. I mean, now I left work at 11:45. I expected to be, you know, I live 63 miles from work.
Okay.
So I expected to be at least 2 hours because it's usually an hour 10 minutes normal.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna be behind by about an hour, maybe 45 minutes.
So you think it's gonna take about 2 minutes or 2 hours 20 minutes or so to get home?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Without a doubt.
Wow. So you're about doubling your time. That's a long commute.
I mean,
you're doing 60 miles a day each way?
63 miles one way.
Wow. That's a huge commute, Ed.
And actually, I'm in, I'm getting close to Lake St. Louis right now, and it's just a little sprinkle. There's, you know, in Chesterfield Valley was like a nice hard rain.
Wow.
But here at Lake St. Louis, it's just a little sprinkle.
So it's not freezing over. It's just, it's staying rain right now.
Yeah, right now it's just rain hitting the car.
All right. Is there a lot of traffic or is it pretty much open?
No, I'm the only car besides a, like I said, I'm getting close to 364 and 64, and I'm the only car, and in my rearview mirror, I can see a MoDOT truck.
Uh-huh.
Clearing off the right-hand shoulder.
They're still working. Good for them. All right, Ed, thanks for the update.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Right, bye. That's a good update. Makes me feel better. I'm off in about a half hour here. The show ends at 2. Then we have Our American Stories. So when I'm out on the interstates driving around, I'm always worried nights like this what it's going to look like. So you have the advantage of there being very few other cars on the road, but then you also have the disadvantage of there's not a lot of other cars that have already drove on the road that may have made it, you know, warm the road up, or so you might be driving over something that's fresh or frozen over. So you get a little nervous, pop on the four-wheel drive for something like this. You see, there's some updates with the Jussie Smollett. Whew. All right. This is not going away. And I also have one other Trump administration story for you that is a very good thing. And I hope more people give him credit for this because it's something that I don't think the Obama administration stood up for all that much. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Oh, Overnight America, here we are. All right, let's see what we got here. I got a couple other stories I want to get to before we say bye-bye for the night. There's a story on NBC, and this is a good story, but you're not seeing it reported all that much. and this is out of Berlin, the Trump administration launching a global campaign to end the criminalization of homosexuality in dozens of nations where it's still illegal to be gay. And we look at the way human rights have been abused in countries across the world and still continue to be. You have places where you have no religious rights and can be persecuted for being of a certain religion. And it's still very true. There's certain places where it's criminal to be a homosexual. U.S. Ambassador to Germany, Richard Grenell, the highest profile openly gay person in Trump's administration, is leading the effort, which kicks off Tuesday evening in Berlin. The embassy is doing a dinner to push the decriminalization in places that still outlaw it, mostly in the Middle East, Africa, and the Caribbean, which is kind of a way that the United States is fighting against Iran. We already have our issues with Iran. We had the nuclear deal with them. And how did that play itself out when we pulled ourselves of the nuclear deal? Well, not so well. I mean, a lot of the Democrats and the people that are running for the Democrat ticket, very critical of the Trump administration for pulling out of that. Iran's not a trustworthy country. It's not one you can believe that they're living up to the merits of the deal or even the specifications of the deal. They're also a country that is on this list that criminalizes being gay. And as the Trump administration, I think, tries to find ways to continue to make an enemy out of Iran, this is one of the ways they're doing it. They're trying to make a push. And you know what the crazy thing is? We have countries that are involved in the United Nations. They're on special councils that are part of the United Nations subcommittees that deal with human rights issues that still do not have great human right track records for their own people. And one of those is an ally, Saudi Arabia. We're having issues with them too. The United Arab Emirates, Pakistan, Afghanistan, U.S. allies, also countries that have implemented penalties for being gay. Iran, though, I think is the target here. And a lot of the ties in the Arab world are going to have issues with this too. But if you think about it, it's 2019. It wasn't the Obama administration that made a push for this. It's the Trump administration. And this is something that should have been done a long time ago. How about that? You're not seeing that being reported all that much, are you? How about this one? This is being overreported. Jussie Smollett's Empire scenes are now being cut out of Fox's programming. How about that? So Fox is finally doing something. I don't think they've really made much of a public announcement over this. I'll tell you what, you say something online that's racist, man, they'll make the biggest publicity stunt they possibly can about cutting you from their network. You actually do something that's racist and create this giant racial hoax, and they'll quietly try to do something behind the scenes, very, very quietly. Isn't that crazy? One tweet versus actually committing a giant hoax. The big difference. You think one would be worse than the other, but I guess not. So the scenes featuring Jussie Smollett on the hit TV show Empire has been drastically cut amid the controversy surrounding his alleged hate attack. Page Six is reporting this one. TMZ has been someone that's on top of this too. It says he was supposed to have 9 scenes and a big musical performance in the second to last episode of season 5, according to TMZ. But those 5 scenes in the musical number have been cut as they've been frantically, the scriptwriters have been scrambling over the last 24 hours, finding ways to revise the script so they can get this update out there as fast as possible. They're trying to basically treating it the way that they did with Kevin Spacey. After the revelations of Kevin Spacey and the accusations that came out there, they frantically, I mean, they ran to recut the scenes he was in. Recut an entire movie. Isn't that crazy? You wonder how something like that can happen so quickly. But man, when there's a will, there's a way. They didn't want to scrap it all together. Here's something else, some new information that's been circulating. Chicago police say that the TV actor, Jussie Smollett, will cooperate in questioning, but hasn't yet from what I've seen. But the big thing about this is it was revealed that in 2007, he provided false information to law enforcement. Wait a minute. So he lied to law enforcement there too? Whoa. This has happened before. How come that one got swept under the rug, too? So he pleaded no contest to a DUI, driving without a license, and providing false information to law enforcement. The case is coming to light in the Chicago police investigation whether Smollett made up a story about being the victim of a racially motivated hate crime. The LAPD provided the information about the arrest. Multiple sources put that out there. Police sources tell NBC News that the LAPD made the initial arrest. The case was handled by prosecutors in the LA County office. Part of this, too, and someone pointed out, you're seeing activists in Chicago right now protesting and saying, why in the world were there this many resources, this many officers, this many detectives assigned to one person? With all of the shootings, with all of the gang violence, with all of the problems that Chicago has right now, you're telling me this was the best way to divert your resources? They're out there saying, man, there's a lot of people in need right now. They need their police to take care of some of these hate crimes, these violent crimes, these things that are happening on the streets of Chicago when it comes to this violence. We need you taking care of this. But you're telling me you diverted resources to a hoax? How many people had to did you have on this case? They make a pretty valid point after all of this, a very valid point. I guess to their defense, the pressure was on in Chicago that they had to do something. Everyone was talking about it. But it also worked to Jussie Smollett's disadvantage. Maybe he didn't anticipate them putting that much into it. You know, he kind of went a little overboard with all of the wild and crazy accusations that he put out there. One last segment of Overnight America will continue next on KMOX. Another 10 minutes or so here together on Overnight America. If you want to call in, you can. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. You can text in with that first line too. Connecting you with all of America. Be careful if you're driving in the St. Louis region. There's a lot of snow in other places. We had our friend up in Iowa give us a text message not that long ago. Getting a lot of snow up there too. Kansas City getting a lot of snow. I found this fascinating on The Verge. There was an article about emojis showing up in court cases. I should have talked to Brad Young about this. Bay Area prosecutors are trying to prove that a man arrested during a prostitution sting was guilty of pimping charges. So when they had his cell phone records, they looked at his text messages, and he was using emojis such as a king's crown, high heel shoes, and a money bag. Now, the lawyer for this alleged pimp said, that doesn't mean anything. You know, that could mean, you know, it doesn't mean prostitution. Obviously, I didn't use the term prostitution. I didn't say prostitution. You know, high heel shoes and money bags could mean anything. You're interpreting it wrong. And lawyers and people that are presenting evidence have to learn how to properly read emojis because there are certain contexts for the way these things are used. So they're showing up as evidence in court more frequently. Between 2004 and 2019, there was a big rise in emojis and emoticon references in U.S. court opinions. I don't know how they came up with that. I guess someone had to scour to figure out if there are emojis used. I'm sure there's some kind of like court search database and court records that anyone that may be a lawyer could have access to that would help them and punch in the term emoji and see what happens. So emoticons started appearing in court 2004. Commonly in sexual predator cases. They said that's just counting the cases, and they've been tracked the words emoticon or emoji. And here's what this one individual person texted out. And let me see if I have the exact. They said there's, you know, it's ambiguous, you know, how these emojis are used and displayed to could be interpreted in multiple ways. So in the matter of the prostitution case, an expert specializing in sex trafficking was called to testify. He said the high heels and bags of money support the interpretation that the defendant was accused of sex trafficking, essentially translating to wear your high heels to come make some money. Wear your high heels to come make some money. That's how he had the expert come in and translate this sort of thing. Emojis are showing up all over the place. They have dialects too, they say. For example, depending on what type of phone you're using, the gritting teeth emoji might look a lot different. Not only are emojis designed differently across smartphone platforms, but they can be interpreted in different ways too. Despite the potential for emojis to be interpreted in a wide array of ways, emoji experts don't really exist. Maybe that's what I need to do. I need to start an emoji consultation company. And if you need someone that could be an expert in emojis, I wouldn't be it, but I would hire the guy that would be the expert, and that would charge a ton of money for the use of that person. Yeah, I'd be that person. That seems like a pretty lucrative thing, right? How often do emojis come up in court cases? Probably more often if they're pulling text messaging records more and more and more and more. So as they draw meanings from their context, you could absolutely talk about emojis as a phenomenon, but what a particular emoji means, you particularly wouldn't have to be a linguist. You'd probably go to someone who's familiar with the community and talk to them about that. Millions of potential regretful emoji tweets are out there. You know that there are new emojis that they're adding to the list that you're going to be able to get here in 2019. I actually have a list here of some of the new little emojis. If you don't even know what an emoji is, I wish I was you. I use emojis every once in a while when I'm texting my wife just to try to be funny. I use it in a way that's more or less like, it doesn't ever make sense for the way I use them, but it's just kind of fun to put them in there if I'm trying to give her a hard time. So let's see, 59 distinct new emojis are out there, and they're going to be released here soon. Here's a list of the new ones, and let me just describe what they are. If you're using a smartphone and you're text messaging, they have the ability to send what these little tiny like photos or pictures. I guess they're not photos. They're little pictures. A lot of times if you see a little tiny smiley face, that would be considered an emoji. And you see those pretty frequently. People use these little things in text messaging, thumbs up or, you know, 100 or, you know, there's a ton of these emojis already created. In fact, there's a council of people that actually are like the ministers of emojis. You have to go and pitch to them why you think they should add an emoji. And by the way, if you get accepted, you get no credit for the one pitching this sort of thing. It's just they create a little animation for it, and then they put it out there, and all of the cell phone companies and the manufacturers adopt what this one board of people agree are the universal emojis. So when you send one emoji from your phone, from an iPhone to an Android, it'll still come up. It's just, you know, it's universally agreed upon. That's what these things are. So here are some of the new ones. Yawning face, pinching hand. It's like a pinch. Hearing aid in an ear. And they'll have deaf person, deaf man, deaf woman. Mechanical arms and mechanical legs. For, I guess, people that, you know, have lost a limb and they're getting some sort of extra arm or leg in there. And good for them to add those in. Man with probing cane and woman with probing cane. So if you're walking down the street and you have your cane with you, if you're seeing impaired, it's nice that they're adding these certain disability emojis in. There's a man in a motorized wheelchair, woman in motorized wheelchair, man in manual wheelchair, and woman in manual wheelchair, person standings, man and woman in person kneeling, people holding hands, guide dog, service dog. That's kind of cool. Good old guide dogs. And there's two different versions of it. They look pretty young. One sitting and one standing. Orangutan, sloth, otter, skunk, flamingo. Those are the animals that'll be added. When I went to go pick my kid up from school today, there's a skunk smashed on the road. Drove by it. It stunk like crazy. I got my opportunity to teach my son what a skunk smells like without actually getting sprayed. So that's pretty good. So here's some of the foods they're adding. Garlic, onion, waffle, falafel, butter, oyster, what they call a beverage box, which is really a juice box. It's kind of a fun way to put it, beverage box. That's the weird thing to call it. Ice cube. Here's a funny little story someone told me once. There was you know, a family and a very young kid. He likes to drink the Capri Suns, which is basically, you know, the bags that you have a hard time sticking the straw through the top. And the kid thought he was really funny. He would call things, he would describe them as what they they looked like in order to like be, you know, kind of comedic about it. And he would call this thing a juice bag. The juice bag. And obviously it sounded like something different. I think that's pretty hilarious. Here's a couple of the other ones that you can get on the new emojis. Manual wheelchair, motorized wheelchair, Hindu temple, auto rickshaw, ringed planet, parachute, diving masks, yo-yo, kite, safety vest, one-piece swimsuit, briefs, shorts. Briefs, like whitey tighties? How about that? Ballet shoes, banjos, there's a lamp, an axe, a probing cane, drop of blood, bandage, stethoscope, chair, and razor. You know, in each one of those different emojis that are now added to these cell phones, every single one of them was pitched by someone. They like went in front of a council of people that were super duper serious, and they had to explain why it would be good to have those little pieces of cartoon included in everyone's cell phone. That's kind of funny how those things work anymore, isn't it? I think it's pretty funny. Good old emojis in court. Maybe one day they'll be a very lucrative idea, the emoji detective. That sounds like a Netflix original, emoji detective, that gets picked up but doesn't make it past one episode because it was so terrible. We only got a couple of minutes here. Do I really want to get into something else? Maybe I'll do this real quick. In Oregon, they're looking to drop the voting age to 16. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Maybe I'll save that article for tomorrow. But they believe that younger Oregonians should have a chance to participate in the ballot at the age of 16. I mean, every once in a while, there's the idea of dropping the voting age. And I don't think 16-year-olds, I don't think it's necessary. Obviously, I think once you hit 18, you're an adult. Even if you are still living with mom and dad, but you aren't technically an adult, I think that's a pretty good age for you to be able to start voting. You know, I think that if you have everything in your life is dependent upon mom and dad, maybe you're not ready to be that adult yet. Maybe I think 18 is the right time. All right, that about does it. I'll save the topic for tomorrow. That seems like it'll be an interesting one. You know, Blues had a big win tonight. They're off on Wednesday, back again on Thursday. I'll be on again at 10. If you haven't subscribed to this show via podcast, you got to, man. It's a great way to support the show. It helps other people discover the show, the more people that we have subscribed to it. If you have an iPhone, open up the podcast app on it. It comes standard in every iPhone. It's a little purple app. Just do in the search bar, Overnight America, okay? You see a little picture of my face pop up. You click on it, and then you hit the subscribe button. And from there, you can actually listen to any of our episodes. I mean, we'll post this hour. You may be listening to this on your smart device right now, and it's absolutely free. There's no charge for you to do that. It'll always be free. We just want you to be able to go back and enjoy the show. And really, we do that as a service for all the people that can't listen live. I mean, it's 1:56 in the morning. There's not going to be a ton of people. I mean, it's not like it's 1:56 p.m. or something like that. So if you're someone that's got a smartphone, in particular an iPhone, it would mean a lot to me if you go and subscribe to this podcast. I'd love to get trending on iTunes. That would be cool. We'll be back again tomorrow night. Until then, be safe, drive safe. We'll see you soon.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.